The Fed is doing the twist, but for some reason, everyone's focused on the shout.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. So the markets got what they were expecting from the Federal Reserve yesterday. The central bank is doing the twist, shifting its investment portfolio in an attempt to bring down long-term interest rates, to make mortgages more attractive, and to get investors to take more risks with their money. But stock markets are plummeting overseas this morning. Stocks are down almost 5% in Hong Kong. Same story across Europe, almost 5% in London, Paris, and Frankfurt right now. Oil has fallen about the same amount in New York, trading to around $82 a barrel. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 283 points, about 2.5%, to close at 11,124. So what's going on? Well, as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports, the focus isn't so much on what the Fed is doing, but what the Fed is saying.
Even though interest rates are already at record lows, the Fed is trying to make borrowing more attractive. Rob Carnell, chief international economist at ING Bank, doesn't think it'll make any difference.
I think the real purpose of Twist was to just deliver something to a market that was desperate for some sort of response.
The markets fear that the Fed is essentially frightened.
Karen Petru is with Federal Financial Analytics.
These actions are so desperate and so dramatic that even if Operation Twist works, what the market is reacting to is the fact that the Fed thinks it needs to have to.
In their post-meeting statement, Fed members also raise new red flags about the outlook for the economy. And that sets up the possibility the central bank will try even more rescue attempts in the future. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
So are the big drops we're seeing in global stocks this morning a panic? Well, Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now to discuss. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, what is considered a market panic?
Well, market panic, 1987, stock market falls by about 25%. That is a market panic. Essentially what happens, and it's happened throughout our history, the first one was in 1792, or that's the one that we talk about with William Dewar, who was a friend of Alexander Hamilton, the first Treasury Secretary. What happens in a market panic is that institutions, the big buyers, they realize that there's danger. They realize they're going to lose a lot of money. They withdraw from the market. Sellers realize, hey, there's no buyers. We've got to lower our price. And then a market panic sets in and it feeds on itself in a downward spiral.
But doesn't it always turn out afterwards that these investors go, that was a real mistake? Why did we panic so much?
Well, of course. And he also wondered during the boom times, how could so many people be so stupid to borrow so much money to invest? So in a way, though, it's very rational, the actions that are happening. That's what's so scary about panics. And that's why panics exist, because what happens is that these institutions are protecting themselves. They realize that they could lose a lot of money. They withdraw from the market. But that withdrawal from the market is what feeds the panic itself.
Well, is there economic thought out there about how to stop these panics from happening?
There's a very simple way to stop a panic, and the classic example is 1907, stock market panic. J.P. Morgan, the legendary investment banker, he said, stop. We are backing the system. And it worked. And then we created the Federal Reserve. One of its jobs is during a market panic, for example, in 1987 and in 2008, the Federal Reserve says, stop. We will support the financial system. Don't panic. Yes, you can knock down the value of stocks or bonds or whatever, but there's no need to panic.
Do you think we're in a period right now where we're prone to market panics? Do we know if we're prone to a market panic?
We're absolutely prone to market panics because we've moved toward a world of computers and algorithms, and they move so fast. They move faster than human judgment. So we're more prone to it than ever before, and we have a situation where it could happen, it could not happen, because of all the uncertainty that's out there about the economy and Europe.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by CSX, transporting 2 billion pounds of goods to market by train and working to help move the economy forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Facebook holds its developers conference today in San Francisco. It's planning some changes to its site in addition to the ones that it unveiled yesterday to a not-so-great reception. And as Jennifer Collins reports, those changes may seem small compared to what's coming.
Media consultant Ted Cohen says Facebook's about to let you and your friends share music more easily.
If I see that a friend of mine is listening to the Chili Peppers on Spotify.
Spotify is a music subscription service.
And I have Spotify. It's going to let me hear the Chili Peppers on my Spotify account.
In Facebook, Cohen thinks you'll soon be able to listen to any band on any service and watch TV shows and movies friends recommend, too. Lucy Hood is with the USC Marshall School of Business.
It's the ultimate killer app. What I want, when and where I want it.
That's good for Facebook because the social network would then have you where it wants you, when it wants, for advertisers. And for the media companies, Cohen says,
for people who haven't subscribed to any of these services, the path to listening to a song
and potentially signing up as a subscriber
is a very short walk.
That is, if they can get past the usual user revolt. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, about that usual user revolt Jennifer was just talking about, we may think we're okay with change, but really, who are we kidding? When it comes to the internet, we like things to look the same. The biggest sites, Google, Yahoo, YouTube, Wikipedia, look about the same today as they did when they started. But Facebook wants to stay fresh. The alterations it made to its homepage yesterday, adding a ticker, making photos bigger, don't seem like such a big deal. But listen to the reaction. I signed up for Google Plus today, said one user. Ridiculous, said another. And TV host Joy Behar tweeted, I've wasted so much valuable time trying to figure out the new Facebook, I've barely had time to play solitaire on my iPad. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. Treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.